It was political violence that drove Al-Sada to leave his home country. He fled El Salvador's civil war and found his way to Seattle. He made a life for himself here, started a business, and did his best to forget about politics. But recently, Al discovered talents he didn't even know he had, and he was able to use them to help shape the future of El Salvador. Sound effect contributor Max Wasserman brings us the story.
People were killed for the smallest reasons during El Salvador's civil war, like listening to anti-government lyrics, or just talking to someone who was against the military. The whole conflict had to do with widespread inequality, and it pitted the U.S.-backed government against rebel forces for more than a decade. Tens of thousands died. An unknown number went missing. Al-Sada was in middle school at the time.
The soldiers came into my classroom, and they kicked it. They kicked the door, and the first thing what they did, they shoot my teacher. And then I saw him getting unbalanced and just fall down. And they, the kids that were screaming, I just covered myself with a chairs and the tables, and I just stayed on the ground. And some girls and other boys, they were got shooting. So there were, I believe, 12 kids out of my classroom killed that day.
Al was lucky to be alive. The memory haunted him long after he fled El Salvador to come to the U.S.
I did not like the fireworks because it reminded me being the fired arms in El Salvador.
The other thing Al stayed away from, politics, specifically in El Salvador. The civil war left a bad taste in his mouth that never really got scrubbed out. Corruption persisted. Gang violence is so rampant that it makes the news when a day goes by without a killing. All this to say that Al stopped paying attention to politicians who promised change that never came.
But this time, it was totally different.
Much is at stake in this presidential election in this Central American nation.
Bukele, con tan solo 37 años, el exalcalde de San Salvador.
Nayib Bukele en la creación de un nuevo partido político llamado Nueva Nación.
Nayib Bukele, a 37-year-old businessman and former mayor of this capital city.
Here was a guy who promised to fix El Salvador, Nayib Bukele.
If you have 100% poor, urban, young people joining the gangs, that's a social problem, 100% social problem.
Bukele is young, he's progressive, and he talked about restoring the country to prosperity in a way that didn't feel hollow to Al. After all, Bukele pushed major social reforms when he was mayor of San Salvador, the country's largest city. Why couldn't he do the same thing as its president?
With this, it kind of opened a big window to me and kind of encouraged me, hey, there's something here that you can help out.
Here's the thing. Al isn't some political operative. He owns a janitorial company, and while he's done some advocacy work in the past, it was never on the scale of a presidential election. But there was one thing he could do: vote. It's not the most straightforward process, but basically, expats from El Salvador can still cast a ballot in the country's elections. Al just had to figure out how to help other people do the same. So he did what a lot of Salvadorans do in Seattle when they need help. He reached out to Anna Castro, or as Al calls her, Anita.
He said, Anita, I wanted to talk to you about something. I told him, okay, go ahead, let's meet at the bakery.
Anna is sort of an icon in the local Salvadoran community. A lot of that has to do with the bakery she started with her sister. It was the 90s, shortly after they fled their home country.
If you put Salvadorian bakery in Seattle, the first that will come is the Salvadorian bakery.
So it'd be like if I went to El Salvador and I Googled El Salvadoran bakery, like a million things would come up. But
right.
When you come to Seattle, only
right.
Yours comes
right.
up.
Right, exactly. Yeah. In fact, that's how we end up becoming like a institution more than a business.
Anna says all sorts of people come to her store, from newly arrived immigrants to politicians as far as Congress. Al figured it'd be a good place to launch a grassroots movement. So he and Anna met along with a small group of supporters, and things just snowballed from there. They made a Facebook group, They did some fundraising. One day, Al went to a local library to help register voters. A huge crowd showed up for only a handful of slots.
I had a lady literally crying. I want to really be able to vote. Can you enroll me?
Al couldn't. He only had enough materials for 7 people. He was by himself. There was a line out the door. This frantic excitement ended up taking hold over the whole building.
I could describe to you like this. Like a rifle.
Like a raffle or a lottery, everything was up to chance.
It's sort of like at that time when you and a rifle and then you have a ticket and waiting for to be called out your name. That's the people that were so excited. We want to win. We want to win.
So Al tapped into this energy being felt across the Salvadoran community. People wanted their home country to rise out of this thick mess of corruption and violence. They wanted change. And the guy promising to do that, he started to take notice.
Un saludo a todos los amigos de Nueva Ciudad de Seattle. Desde aquí, desde Madrid.
This is a voicemail on Al's phone, and the person talking is Nayib Bukele. It's a generic message, the type you'd expect from a busy presidential candidate touching base with supporters. Bukele says some kind words about Seattle, but then he goes on to list all these other places.
Suiza, en Alemania, en Italia, en Inglaterra, en Moscú, en Isla Fiji, en Australia, en Sudamérica. Y también allá en Seattle, en donde están todos ustedes reunidos hoy. También en Estados Unidos, en otros...
So it wasn't just Al. There was a global network of expats rooting for Bukele. And the same thing was happening back in El Salvador.
Contra todo muro. Nadie se interpondrá entre Dios y su pueblo para poder cambiar El Salvador. Muchas gracias. Que Dios bendiga El Salvador.
Bukele didn't just win. He took the presidency by a landslide. It was a dazzling defeat of the country's long-standing political forces, a promise of new hope. But the whole thing sparked another question. Would the results have been the same without support from people like Al? One expert in Latin American studies told me Bukele won by such a large margin that there really wasn't any question about where the votes came from. I took the question to Al, and his answer actually made a lot of sense.
Do you actually think that groups like yours made a difference?
It make a difference, but not a huge difference. What it really, really make the big difference is because we're talking about over 2 million people in El Salvador. Every one of us have friends down there. Every one of us have members of family.
People who normally voted along party lines were nudged by friends and family to try something else. It's hard to tell if this actually made a difference, but what we know for sure is that Bukele's victory has created a new sense of hope.
Did any part of helping in this campaign to elect Bukele, did that help in any way the trauma that you experienced?
It have. It's sort of like a cure because the country that I was born, one of the things that I dream of is seeing El Salvador, peaceful country, and place that maybe when I be older, I could be retired there to go back to a country that would have to be worried about any crimes and being secure.
It's hard to imagine one politician can change the course of an entire country. Bureaucracy is slow. It doesn't work on pride alone. Al gets this. He knows the roadblocks standing in the way of Bukele's vision. But like a lot of people in El Salvador, he's still holding out for change. And at least for the moment, crime is down.